Coming up on show 941, Ford's plan to use VW's EV platform here in Europe. Stick around and I'll tell you more. Plus on the show today, the Tesla models S and X getting more expensive in Europe. Reuters reporting on LG Chem doubling their Chinese battery capacity. You know who to blame, that'll be Tesla. And also, Hyundai's new EV platform looks really impressive. Got some more details on that for you today. Well, good morning, good afternoon and good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Wednesday, 2nd of October. My name is Martin Lee and I go through every EV story so you don't have to, because I know that you're busy, so we're here to save your time. A bit like the gang at myev.com. Man, I wish we had it here. That'd be so useful. It's such a faff using those, you know, the websites I'm talking about that sell all the other combustion cars and trying to filter it out to EVs. Imagine a site only listing EVs. That'd be so good. If you're in the US, though, that's what you've got. Check out myev.com. So Tesla's increased prices in Europe for the next batch of S and X models coming here, and it's sparking rumours of a refresh, says Fred at Electric. Well, Tesla owners across Europe are reporting that they've updated the online configurator with a price increase across the board. Model 3 seeing a smaller price increase between €500 and €1,000, but S and X are seeing larger price increases. Prices will vary in different markets, but the price of both vehicles, about €5,000, that's about $6,000, more expensive after this update, which I gather happened in the last few days. Now, I've been looking at the UK website as part of the research of this story, and I don't know what the S and the X were off by heart beforehand. They don't look wildly different. I'm not even sure the UK pricing in pounds has changed. Certainly I've looked at the Model 3. That hasn't changed as of looking at the website now. So I'm not sure what's going on there with the European prices and why we would be immune to those operating in sterling over here. In Germany, the Model S now starts at €82,000. That's $98,000 equivalent. Of course, different rates of VAT apply. We pay 19%. Germany is a lot less, but it's going up from January, I believe. So it's always really difficult to compare prices. But these are the prices of the Model S and the Model X that will be arriving with customers from March 21. That's a long way off. Now, they're doing discounted deals on existing stock. So the good news is, if you wanted to get yourself, oh, I was going to say a bargain then. Okay, a Model S and an X can never, ever, ever be described as a bargain. But if you wanted to save some money and you were going to purchase one anyway and you don't mind getting them now, there are offers on of stock. But if you'd rather wait until March and find out why you're being charged so much extra for these cars, well, you know, I'd certainly be curious. Tesla, once again, proving, you know, what I've said before, my point, that their cars are much more like technology. Because if someone says to me, which mobile phone should I buy, or should I wait for the next one, the next computer, next laptop, just buy the best thing today, because the minute you buy it, you'll see something come out that is bigger, better, faster. And cars didn't used to be like that, but Tesla are certainly changing the rules of the game. So if you want the car, just buy it. Otherwise, these rumours were swirling around about an S and an X complete redesign with the screen changing into landscape, like the 3 and the Y. That was a year ago, 18 months ago. If you'd been holding on, you'd never buy a car. Buy the car now and deal with it in the future. And often Tesla, when they do make changes, will even give people either some money back, or if they've literally just bought their car and missed out by a few days. And those cars, like I say, coming in March, could it be the 4680 cells from the pilot line they're making? Surely not. The number of sales for the S and the X are small enough for them to be playing around with, but not so small that they're insignificant. They sold about 17,000, or they produced 17,000 S and X combined in Q3, about the same in Q1, about the same, near as damn it, in Q4 last year. Ignore the COVID quarter this year. But so if you think, well, there's 17,000 of those vehicles, let's give them an average pack size of 100 kilowatt hours. That is 1.7 million kilowatt hours of cells required. That is 1.7 gigawatt hours of batteries every quarter, just for the S and the X lines. Now, the pilot line making 4680 cells, the bigger ones, will run to a 10 gigawatt hour annualized capacity when that is up to full speed. But we know that those cells are going to be used. Elon said so on the earnings call. Maybe it wasn't Elon, maybe it was one of the others. We heard on the earnings call that the cells from the pilot line in California, the 4680s, will be shipped to Berlin to go into the new Model Y. So we know those European Model Ys will be using the new Tesla cells. But will there be any left over to go in the S and the X? Could they redesign those vehicles to even fit those cells? I think unlikely. There are long-term battery supply contracts with Panasonic for the 18650 form factor cells, and redesigning a chassis is not the work of a moment. So this is more likely a cosmetic refresh to bring it in line with the supply chains and the commonality of parts used across all four vehicles, and I'd love to see them become a bit more premium, if I'm honest with you, as well. So for the next month, I have a Jaguar I-Pace that I'm driving from Onto, which is the subscription EV company here in the UK. They've got 1,000 vehicles in their fleet now. You can check them out, on.to. And this I-Pace rolled off the production line in November. It's got a November 2020 production date on it. It's done 200 miles. And it's stunning. They've really fixed the software in the I-Pace now. It's updated. It's the top of the range HSE, so it's got the air suspension and panoramic roof. But just being inside it reminds you that whilst Tesla win with technology, Tesla win with software, they win with 0 to 60 times, they definitely don't win with those people that want to spend £80,000 and want to feel good about the luxurious surroundings. There's plenty of those people, plenty of people that want Teslas as well. But it was a reminder that as impressive as the S and the X are, they're a little long in the tooth now, and they've never been that luxurious inside anyway. So, it was just a reminder that when I got inside that yesterday, when the car was dropped off, and like I said, I've got it till the new year, I was like, goodness me, I could, you know, I'm not in the market for an £80,000 car. But what a reminder that if I was, it wouldn't be a night and day decision of, oh, just buy the Tesla. Because great technology, supercharging network, so many benefits. But you know what? This Jaguar is a really nice place to be. It's a really nice... It's a nice place to be inside. Just sitting inside it. I don't want to get out. This is lovely. Can I sleep in here tonight? Bjorn Nealon does sleep in his cars. Has slept in an I-Pace a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly, from his YouTube channel. All right, let's move on. Reuters are exclusively reporting a story about LG Chem doubling Chinese battery cell capacity. South Korea's LG Chem is more than doubling capacity of battery cells that it makes in China. And Tesla is to blame for it, sources said, to keep up with their growth in the biggest car market. According to Reuters, LG Chem, which does supply Tesla's Giga Shanghai Model 3 and soon will Model Y, will also ship their increased output from China as well as Korea to Tesla's factory in Germany and the United States as well, said two people with knowledge of the matter, signalling an increased role in the supply chain of the world's leading EV manufacturer. So it used to be, back in the day, Tesla and Panasonic sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. However, these days it's LG Chem, it's CATL, who make the LFP cobalt-free batteries for the Standard Range Plus Model 3, and it's Tesla making their own cells as well. Now, this plan with LG Chem comes as Tesla, who is their biggest customer now at LG, scrambles to secure cells as part of an aggressive global production expansion plan, says Reuters, as it targets soaring demand fanned by governments promoting EVs. LG Chem has already added production lines in South Korea this year, mainly to meet demand from Tesla's US plant. Now, I didn't know that Tesla, maybe I'd read this, but maybe I've forgotten it, that LG supply Tesla from their South Korean plant. I did not know that. Moreover, the automaker has asked Japan's Panasonic, which supplies the US plant, to also supply Shanghai. So that's interesting. Model Y could be on sale. Remember, Shanghai Model Y could be on sale by the end of the year. Man, that would be incredible. And inside it, LG Chem cells. Of course, the all-wheel drive, long range, and performance versions on sale to begin with. No Standard Range Plus Model Y. Inside that car, well, it could either be the LFP cells. Those are the ones from CATL, the, like I say, cobalt-free lithium iron phosphate cells. Or maybe it'll be supplied by LG Chem. Annual capacity at Shanghai for Model Y could be 250,000 cars next year. By the end of next year, that could be the annualized capacity. Well, this new production from LG Chem, they're putting 17 production lines together at Nanjing. That would make enough cells on an average pack for 320,000 Model Ys. So definitely going hand in hand with Tesla there. And from the same report, LG Chem's Chinese factory will also initially supply battery cells for Berlin. The person said the automaker needs permission should it want to make its own cells locally in Germany. I did not know that. So LG kept this, well, one person, and I whenever we get a Reuters battery report, I really trust it. They're always more right than wrong. Saying that the LG Chem Chinese batteries will be sent to Berlin. I thought all of the Berlin cells, at least for the first 6 months or so, were coming from the pilot line, as they'd confirmed, the new 4680, the bigger ones, the new technology, more powerful, cheaper to make. Very, very interesting. So I wonder if the Model Ys to begin with in Berlin will be a mix. No, surely not, because 2170 cells, bigger 4680s, goodness, that's kind of fried my brain a little bit. I need to think about that one and work out what's happening in Berlin. What are the cars that they sell in June? I think they'll be delivered in June, some say earlier. What will they have inside them? Well, let's wait and see. Staying with Tesla, the Chinese VP Grace Tao recently shared an interesting update on their supercharger ramp in China while speaking at an online forum. She remarked that Tesla China is open to the idea of opening their supercharging network to other Chinese carmakers. According to Teslarati, if Tesla China opens up its supercharging network to other Chinese carmakers, Tao noted that the non-Tesla EVs would be certified, not announcing a time frame for any such project, though her remarks do come on the heels of an announcement about a supercharger plant. The superchargers are actually going to be made, as in the hardware, they're going to be made in China now. This new platform from Hyundai, I've talked about Hyundai, if you want me to say that, has been bubbling along. Now we have more news. You know, I've told you before, it's called the EGMP, the EGIMP, and it is the first dedicated pure electric platform from the group, which is, of course, Hyundai and Kia, for the next generation pure electric cars. Pure electric cars based on the eGIMP can provide 500 kilometers of range. That's 320 plus miles. But the point is, this is their first pure electric custom-made platform. So all of their, because their technology is fabulous. They are the most efficient EVs you can buy on the market. You know, like nothing's going to go further than an IONIQ. But their new cars under the IONIQ brand will be 800 volts. So they're going to charge really, really quickly. Of course, you can have smaller cables inside the car. There are lots of benefits to that. Bigger isn't always better in terms of voltage, but there are many benefits. Components are being optimized to maximize the cabin space. The power electronics in the 800 volt system of the new platform are bi-directional. The platform is modular and standardized. Now, of course, that's so important in an EV world because you're bringing all these, like all car companies have got to bring these cars to market so quickly over the next few years. If you can make them modular, to put different shapes and sizes of cars and vehicles on them, standardize the parts, especially the bits that you can't see, but even the bits you can, standardize as much as you can with supply chains, and it makes it all more profitable and maximizing that development flexibility through standardization. Hyundai will, well, the group, Hyundai Group, will introduce 23 pure electric models by the middle of the decade. In the next 4 years, it's going to be a massive opening of the taps there. And unlike previous pure electric cars, which only accept one-way charging, this new platform, which all of their cars will be built on, like I say, under the IONIQ brand name, will be bi-directional. So they call it V2L, vehicle to load. We call it sort of vehicle to home, V2H, vehicle to grid, V2G, but they call it vehicle to load. In other words, whatever the load is that you want to take out of your car, maybe to charge your house or run your house or feed back to the grid, or even to charge another vehicle which is stranded and out of battery. And so you can discharge the energy from the battery with no additional components, no crazy expensive wall charger on the, you know, wall for $2,000-$3,000 as they cost at the moment. Exactly the same as what Lucid are doing with the Air. Really super interesting. Okay, let's move on and talk about Ford, the Mustang Mach-E GT Performance. Based on the GT trim of the Mustang Mach-E, the Performance Edition is powered by two electric motors that make 480 horsepower and a pickup like 634 pound-feet of torque. Now, the regular Mach-E GT posts 480 brake horsepower. The figures of the GT Performance lower the 0-60 time to 3.5 seconds, gets 19-inch Rotors, as Autoblog say. Rotors. We would call them brake discs gripped by Brembo calipers and a Magna Ride suspension and 20-inch wheels. Man, it's just like, this is a beast. Will it be on sale soon? No, you'll have to wait for it, but when it is on sale, $62,500 before government incentives, if you do want the super top-end Mach-E GT Performance Edition. Now, one of my buddies, I do the Inside EVs podcast on Fridays on YouTube, if you haven't heard it or seen it, it's podcast and on YouTube, and one of my buddies on the show, Kyle, went to Detroit and drove the Mach-E, and he's not allowed to talk about it yet until the cars get into customers' hands. There's a great half-hour walk-around video, looking outside, inside, and all that, but he just can't say what he thought of the driving experience. Not allowed to yet until, I think it's a couple of weeks away, and then all the media are allowed to discuss it. So I had a good chinwag with him. I can't even allude to what he's going to say, but I'm looking forward to him telling you his verdict and hearing more from those people that have driven the Mustang Mach-E, those journalists and reviewers. Volkswagen are next, and they're ceasing their motorsport program to spend money on electric vehicles. The German manufacturer decided last year to cease factory support of programs using combustion engines and emphasizing electric power. However, just a day after Audi went public with their decision to pull out of Formula E, Volkswagen now canned all of its motorsport projects, according to Motor1.com website. A statement says that this move comes as part of the company's realignment. There are 169 employees of VW Motorsport, and they will be integrated into the wider VW company. They don't want to lose all the knowledge that they've got from participating in motorsport, the VW IDR, which did Goodwood and Pikes Peak, etc. They'll keep all that knowledge in the company, but those engineers and those staff members will be kind of reassigned, as it were, into different things. They don't want it a separate part of VW anymore, but also they won't be developing motorsport at Volkswagen, spending the money instead, the investment, on more electric vehicles. It's fascinating stuff, isn't it? Let's finish off by talking about Ford converting the Cologne factory for an MEB-based EV. Now, if you don't know, MEB is the name that VW gave to their platform, and if you think, hang on, he just said Ford. Yeah, here in Europe, Fords will be built on Volkswagen's platform. Not in the US, but over here, the Fords on sale will be, underneath the skin, VWs. Of course, VW love that because they developed a platform, they get to license it and sell it to Ford, and they've recently selected a factory in Cologne to make their first Ford-branded EV. Says Clean Technica. The plan is to launch the car in 2023. Ford will be delivering more than 600,000 examples of the car, combining generous space and electric drive, they say. In fact, there's a second MEB-based car from Ford coming. A report from Handelsblatt last year quoted the head of Ford in Europe, his name is Stuart Rowley, saying, yes, we are talking about it, because from an economic point of view, why just stop with one car? The more the cars you put on the platform, the more that investment and paying VW for the license makes a lot of sense. And that's your podcast for today. Man, that was 20 minutes of positive EV stuff to get through. Just gives me so much hope when I do this show every single day about all the brilliant stories that there are around. I'd love to get your feedback, please. Especially, by the way, if you are curious about this iPace that I have for the next month. Like I say, it's box fresh, has 200 miles, and I'm the second person to drive it. So anything you want to know about the all-new iPace, latest sort of 2021 model edition, the software, like I say, is definitely an improvement on what it used to be. There's other bits of the car as well, which I think have been improved upon since I last saw one in 2018. And so I'll be having a play with that, making some videos over the next month or so. And stay in touch. You can email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Hello to our premium partners on Patreon, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley at the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard at R. Simons. They are rsev.co.uk. They are the electric vehicle specialists if you fancy doing a bit of window shopping on their website. Looking for EVs, which I do occasionally. Thank you very much for listening today. Hopefully you had a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. Oh, and do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.